You're listening to Trek FM.
Want to join in the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode? Join the Babel Conference, our listeners' discussion group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field, and we look forward to seeing you there.
This is Steve Sansweet of Rancho Obi-Wan, and you're listening to the 602 Club.
Hello and welcome to TFM's local watering hole, and I am just one of your hosts here, Matthew Rushing, from Universe 661-654-302. And with me, as she is, oh wait, are you Christy from 661-3042 or 661-3043?
Which timeline is that?
I don't know. I don't know if we've had any of the same podcasting experiences, but we're going to try this anyway. We're going to be talking about Deadpool and Wolverine this week. Before we dive into everything, of course, thanks for catching up with us. We'd love if you would subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. Of course, you can also give us a star rating review over on Apple Podcasts and help other people find the show. You can find us all over social media. The entire show you'll find on X, Twitter, at the 602 Club. We're on Instagram at the 602 Club TFM. We're on with the entire network on Facebook at facebook.com/trekfm. We've also got the website at trek.fm, and you can support the network by going over to Patreon at patreon.com/trekfm and becoming part of the team. So, Christy, with this movie, I think one of the most interesting things maybe, or at least a big part of it, is the fact that, you know, we had for so long Fox version of Marvel versus Marvel's own version of Marvel, you know, with Marvel Entertainment, Marvel Studios. And then, of course, they were bought by Disney. And so it became kind of like Fox versus Disney. And so I guess one of the big things in that, how did you feel knowing that they would do a third film in the Deadpool series with 20th Century Fox now that Disney owns that? But of course, it's also now with Disney, and so they aren't really known for doing the same things that Fox was known for doing, especially with the Deadpool films, or even like what we've seen Marvel do with Sony and the Venom films. Mm-hmm. You know, that hasn't really been the MO of the Disney Marvel series. And so, yeah, how did you feel coming into that, knowing they were going to pick up this mantle, and apparently they were going to run with it the same as usual as the other previous Deadpool films?
I think it's kind of a double-edged sword with this, where on the one hand, you want to give respect and pay homage to the Deadpool films that came before, because you're not going to get the same response if you try to do your own thing with it. But then also, this is a totally uncharted territory for Disney. It's their first R-rated film with any property that they own. And it's also now picking up all of these characters that Fox no longer would have the rights to, that they've been acquired by Disney. So I was a little trepidatious about it, just because obviously there's a lot of things to like about Disney being more family friendly. But I think that there's an interesting way they could look at this with fresh eyes, I would say. And I think that Fox anyway had been losing some steam with some of the more recent stuff, except for Deadpool. So, obviously thinking about the X-Men stuff, I think that it really started to get more and more unraveled. It wasn't as good as when it first started, aside from Logan, for example. So I was really interested in Disney picking up Fox and trying to do a third Deadpool movie. But then also, you and I both, I think, have always felt the same about franchises. Let's not just go for the cash grab. Let's actually have a good story that's worthy mm-hmm. of another film.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I think that it always came down to the money, and I think that Disney realized that they could always make money doing this, you know, having a third Deadpool film, and either finding a way for the character to bow out. I mean, Deadpool's not going to do anything gracefully.
Right.
But
sarcastically.
To bow out, you know, have a final wrap up or find a way to work him into what it is that they've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the most interesting part of this is the way in which, and you know, well, right away, that the spoilers are, is that, you know, now Deadpool and Wolverine and X-23 all exist in the MCU.
Mm-hmm.
And are part of that universe. And I think, you know, that's definitely an interesting thing. Especially the Wolverine as is, especially since I still have no clue exactly how they're going to work in mutants to this universe. And so I guess a question that I come to with that, then, I'm wondering from you and how you feel about this, because is this just overcomplicating things to the point where they should have just kind of let, you know, Deadpool and that whole X-Men universe basically either die a wonderful death or to live in its own universe and never really touch necessarily the universe that we're in the sense that, like, it exists in its own universe and we're just going to keep in its own universe, because I don't know. I just feel like this just makes things even more complicated than necessary for the MCU as a whole, which has already gotten ridiculously complicated and hard to follow, if you ask me personally.
So I'd like to introduce secret option C, where I'm kind of for this being introduced into the MCU, because you and I have talked about a lot with our reviews of the Marvel new phase and the shows not seeming to have any clear direction. Whereas we felt like everything leading up to this point in all the previous phases actually felt like someone had their handle on it and it was following a master plan that we all knew where we would end up, or that we knew we'd end up in a good place. Now, I think this addition could actually give some new interest and I would say even more credibility to the new phase of Marvel, because it's tying it back to that nostalgia of the X-Men characters that we grew to love, and Deadpool as well, and putting them together. I think it, you know, just having their humor and everything mixed in with it, I think it could be a good thing.
I mean, I can see 100% what you're saying. I don't think I agree. I think, and the reason that is for me personally is that this might be starting off incredibly negatively, but to me, this kind of proved how dead Marvel is, and in all honesty, just how I think they lack any true ideas anymore that are interesting. You know, we're just continuing to build on the nostalgia bone. And I think, honestly, people are really tired of the nostalgia bone in some ways. Mm-hmm. I know this movie is making a lot of money and all that, and I think it really has more to do with the fact that Logan is in it and Hugh Jackman is back and all of that. But as per the purpose of really bringing these in to truly serve the MCU as is, or even where it is, or what they could do for the MCU, I don't really know if they add anything of value to the MCU, because then you just kind of saddle it with a previous Wolverine and a Deadpool character that doesn't really fit in with the rest of the MCU in general, and in the way in which it's comported itself, and just the semi-serious nature with which it takes itself. It muddles to me, like, bringing in, like, the X-Men characters in general to the MCU in the first place. I guess I'm left in a place where I just don't see how this actually benefits at all. but I see how it could either hamper or hurt the introduction of the rest of the X-Men to the... and I guess it just brings me back to something we talked about many times, which is like, just it almost feels as though they should have found a way after Endgame to utilize Spider-Man to create another universe we follow, where you could introduce him and the X-Men and some of the characters we hadn't necessarily seen, and then kind of start to throw in other characters that we might have been familiar with or whatever. I don't know. That's just I know that's incredibly negative, but it's one of the things where, like, watching this film, I was just struck by, like, I don't understand how this actually helps anything. And so that's just where I landed. So, it's interesting that we're on two totally different sides of the issue. So,
yeah. And, you know, I mean, I completely understand where you're coming from. And I definitely will agree that coming into this movie, I was exactly where you are, where I was like, I don't know all the stuff they've been teasing. I just don't know how it's going to work. But I will say, after watching the movie, I thought, okay, maybe these are some ways of implementing it together that I didn't think of.
And
also, too, maybe this is where they leave Deadpool and Wolverine's story, and they may or may not have cameos in future MCU films or shows, and they're just kind of existing in the background. So that could also be an option. I'm choosing to look at it in a positive light.
No, I mean, I think that is something that they could do. I think I'm left with the thought, though, if you're going to spend all of this time to create an entire film where you make sure these characters are still alive, like, I can't imagine them just being background characters in a way. And it does make me wonder, okay, you know, is this one of the ways in which you kind of find your way around the Kang storyline? In the sense that, you know, the TVA is doing this new thing and all and whatnot. So, yeah, I mean, it'll be really interesting. I think we could probably talk maybe a little bit more at the very end of the episode, just kind of where Marvel is going now with some of the announcements we've gotten and if we're excited about those or not. But I think the most interesting thing to me was what they were going to do with bringing back Wolverine. You know, we knew Logan was coming back. But how that was going to happen, we didn't necessarily know, especially since the character died, amazingly, in one of the best comic book movies I've ever seen, which is Logan. And so how were they going to bring back this character in a way that doesn't ruin what happened there, but still gives us that character coming back? And so how did you feel like it worked? Did you feel like that it was a good choice? Did the storyline for just the character end up working for you in the film?
Yeah, I have to say this was the most exciting part for me. Aside from seeing Deadpool again, this was, I think, the thing that brought everybody to the theater, because especially if you saw Logan, it was such a natural conclusion. And I mean, legitimately, like, he died and Hugh Jackman said, "I am retired. This character is now done. We're done." Except then we saw all of these other things that could lead up to this point, where Hugh Jackman and Ryan Reynolds were friends outside of their movie franchises and were doing marketing together for their respective businesses and joking with each other all the time. And apparently Hugh even said in an interview years ago that when he saw the movie Deadpool, he went, "Ooh, maybe this could be something I want to be a part of," and then just kind of dismissed it, but thought, "That's really cool. I don't want to forget about that." And then apparently again in 2022, he reached out to Ryan and said, "Okay, there's some way somehow I want to be a part of this film." Or your next film. And I was glad actually to hear that Kevin Feige was against it at first, because exactly like you said, Logan was such a great conclusion and a great way to wrap up that character. You don't want to ruin it. So having him come in through an alternate timeline through the TVA was the only way that everyone involved would accept it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you on that front. One, I will say that, I guess in some ways, spoiler for everyone and my thoughts, but like, he's the best part of this film completely. His story is the best part of this film. He's the most interesting part of this film. He's literally the only thing I care about in this film, really. And that's because the way that Hugh Jackman has always played this character is just so incredibly well. From the beginning, you know, he understood, I think, perfectly and really honed that craft in X2 and then everything else that they did with him. I mean, he even makes the Wolverine origin movie somewhat watchable just because he's in it. But I mean, he really gets this character, and I think that the struggle of this character. And so, you know, I thought that the choice of then bringing him from another universe where he is the complete opposite kind of the Wolverine we saw, especially by the end of Logan, right? This sacrificial character who's willing to give their life, you know, even though they've never felt like they were good at this or anything, was pretty fantastic. And so... and again, too, making him very different from the Logan that we've known, mm-hmm. right? Who was always the reluctant hero, but always stepped up to be the hero in the end. You know, this was a Logan who had never done that. And,
right, who
and
always runs away from the problem.
Exactly. Yeah. Just avoids problems as if that will make them go away, which I think was an incredibly important theme of the film, and this idea of, like, you know, you can't really run from your problems. You know, it kind of reminds me of the silly line, but not a terrible one at the same time, from Twisters, where he's like, you know, you don't face your fears, you ride them. You know, you've got to face your fear. You've got to confront your fear. Mm-hmm. You can't just run away from it, because that doesn't do anybody any good. And in the end, of course, you know, Logan finds out, people also can end up dead. Mm-hmm. And so the things that we do matter. And I loved that. I, again, bringing him back was wonderful. And, you know, it was definitely fun to be able to see him in the classic suit, the classic X-Men suit. You know, I think, that was wonderful. So I was really glad that we actually went this direction with him. And to me, it's the most pivotal and important part of the film, in all honesty. And it really, I will say this too with it. I absolutely wish that the movie just wanted to take itself slightly more seriously, because I think actually the thematic elements for Wolverine, which we'll talk about a little bit later, and even the stuff that they do with Deadpool are incredibly interesting. Mm-hmm. And yet the movie's just not interested in really digging into that more, which is sad, because if, again, this movie's like 20% more serious, I think it's a 40 to 50% better film because of it. And you know, that's unfortunately not the MO of the Deadpool series, which is probably one of the things that makes me not as much of a fan of it as many other people are.
Well, and one thing I will say to counter that is that the issues that Deadpool was always dealing with were serious, even though he came at it from a sarcastic angle. I mean, he was dealing with end-stage cancer and losing the person that he loved, the only person he loved. And so he dealt with that with sarcasm and the costume to hide his pain. But, you know, here it's a whole other level of, you know, he's gotten through those things. What now? And I like that they do bring in some seriousness for him in trying to figure out how to be on a team to work better with Wolverine than he has with the others from, you know, X-Force and stuff. But it was hard. And then also wanting more because he could see that the woman he loves wants more from him, where he goes and wants to become an Avenger, but realizes even asking that is going to get him a laugh in the face.
Yes. I mean, I think, again, the thematic element for him as a character to realize that the world does not revolve around me, and maybe it's better in the world if I care more about other people than I just care about myself, it's great.
Right.
It's a good theme.
Like
right?
the picture of his friends. And
yes, yes. I think all of that's wonderful. I think all of that's that I... From my point of view, though, the film, it doesn't want to really dwell on that enough to really drive it home, I think, in a way that makes it much more impactful as a story element and a thematic element. And again, that's because, and we've talked about, I think, this many times, and I would say that Deadpool is probably the ultimate example of this, which is you lean into the joke over the actual story elements. And I know that that's the character of Deadpool, but I think that to me, if they had actually leaned into the thematic elements and the actual character moments for the character of Deadpool, it would have helped in making him fit more within the MCU. He could still be who he is. But I think if you dig into that a little bit more in the film and make it more prominent, it makes him feel like he fits more in the MCU in the first place. And so that's the part where I'm like, if you could just dial back some of the humor just a little bit so that we can focus on the fact that this character is growing. And so, of course, is the character of Logan. You do that, and I think you have, again, I think you have a film that's it's much better. And again, it also, I think, is one that fits within the MCU better. And so does the character, because those are the things that I really liked. I was like, oh, they actually are trying to do something where this character is having an arc. But it's also lost under 45 million jokes that it's like, I get that's the character, but I still think we could do this better. So,
well, and one thing I wanted to add to just before we move on from talking about Wolverine, not only was this the first time that we've had Wolverine in the movies wearing the blue and yellow suit, but also putting him and Deadpool together and seeing what results, and seeing two characters that are so individual learn how to work together and also have to fight it out multiple times. I love the way that they wrap up their endpoint in this story for now and cause them to learn how to work together.
That's so, yeah, you just hit on something that I think so Wolverine and Deadpool together in the film is also something to which I really actually struggled with in this film, not seeing them together, but the fact that so much of the film feels very repetitive. It just feels like the same fight kind of over and over again between them, which I got, in all honesty, pretty bored with, because neither of them can die. And it's like, it's enjoyable, I think, once, maybe twice, but it happens like 3-4 times in this movie. And it just felt like the film could have been shorter with the same result, with just less of them beating the crap out of each other. And yeah, I think to me, that's just one of the places where the just focus more on what's actually happening with the characters beyond them beating each other up.
And I'll agree with that.
Yeah. So, because, you know, it's like, I saw this fight. This one just happens to be in a minivan, which, I mean, slightly funny, but not as funny as they think it is.
Yeah. I feel like that one and the one when they first land in Limbo, I don't remember what it's called.
Yeah.
Those were fine. But I think after that, when all of the other Deadpools show up, fight there was kind of unnecessary. But I did find the minivan to be the most hilarious fight of the whole movie because of the musical cues. Did you catch that?
Yeah, I mean, all the musical cues in the film, I mean, just almost feel like a late 80s, early 90s, 2000s. Like, it's like all the stuff that, you know, Ryan grew up with, you know, which is fine. And it's I think it's fun.
Well, no, I mean, all the Easter eggs, too.
Yeah, I mean,
like, there was a clip when Wolverine gets thrown against the radio that plays The Greatest Show from The Greatest Showman.
Yeah. Yes.
And my husband hasn't seen it, so he didn't get it. And I'm going, oh my God, that was great.
Yeah. Yes. No, I think all that stuff was, it was good. I don't respond as well to the character as everybody else does in general. And so I get much of what they're trying to do and go for, but it doesn't resonate as much with me as it does everybody else.
Okay.
And it's been that way since the first movie came out, you know, like, and I think, you know, my biggest draw for this movie, in all honesty, was just like, okay, Hugh Jackman's back as Wolverine. I want to see that.
But not also the things like paying homage to Hugh Jackman? Like, there was a joke about the Music Man.
No, that's fine. Well, I mean, they also made the joke about his divorce and all. I mean, all sorts of these. So, I mean, they were definitely poking fun at each other in general the whole time. And, I mean, that stuff is fun. But what did you think about just kind of connecting this? We talked a little bit about this, but, like, the way they connect this with the MCU. The fact that we utilize the TVA to do this, and, you know, the idea of Deadpool knowing who the Avengers are and everything, and all of that. I didn't actually quite, maybe I'm an idiot, which is a good possibility, but I didn't quite understand how he even knows who they are.
Yeah, I mean, and that wasn't explained, I'm sure, intentionally, because they don't want to get too down to brass tacks with things and spend forever explaining. I feel like I just accepted it that everyone knows who the Avengers are, so why wouldn't characters in other universes have heard of them? You know, I guess you could say they kind of exist in the same planet Earth. So I went along with it. But that is a valid point. They don't say how he would know. I think the TVA is necessary because obviously otherwise you don't have an easy way to bring Wolverine back in, since they did confirm he is
exactly,
dead.
Yeah.
You would have to pull him from another parallel universe. But I like the way that they brought in Captain America, or so we thought, with the Fantastic Four, with him being... with them bringing in Johnny Storm, but you're thinking it's going to be Captain America. That was funny.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that was good and very fun. I definitely agree with that.
But so, I think the strongest point that they did this with was, like we were saying, with the TVA showing a reasonable way to bring Logan back in, but leave him dead in the world as we know it. And then also with having, Deadpool meet with Happy and talk about the seriousness of wanting to become an Avenger and what that takes. And I love that they actually have him as a character be told, the problem is you're saying that you want to do this for yourself, whereas the Avengers don't have a choice. They have to do this for everyone else. And that draws the great conclusion about why he can't be an Avenger.
No, I agree. When it comes to the character of Deadpool, that's absolutely the strongest part of the story for him is the realization that he needs to do this for the desire to help other people, not himself.
Mm-hmm.
That, and regardless of whether or not he gets to be an Avenger in the first place, it's self-sacrifice, right? You and that's the reason that the Avengers do it. They don't do it because they have to. They do it because they need to for others,
mm-hmm.
right? And because there's nobody else to do it. And with great power comes great responsibility, mm-hmm. yada, yada, yada. And so I think that is really good. And yeah, I mean, we talked about kind of the other connections to the MCU and how we feel about them just kind of being part of that. But how did you feel about kind of just all the other characters that we get to see? I mean, the fact that, you know, you've got Elektra, and you finally got Channing Tatum playing Gambit, and Colossus, and Sabretooth, and Toad, and like, there's all of these characters that we utilize. X-23 being a part of it, and all. You know, how did you feel like that worked?
I felt like overall it wasn't bad. I think in a way it leaves a nice memory of all of the movies that came before with the X-Men and reminds you of the ones you may have forgotten, like Toad. At the same time, I think maybe it was a little too many of them. I don't think you needed all of those, because it draws you away a little bit from the point of the movie, which is Deadpool and Wolverine. And especially having Cassandra Nova, who's supposed to be Professor Xavier's sister, I think it was almost like having too many villains again. Because we've also got Matthew McFadden playing this guy at the TVA who's corrupted. So I think they needed to choose who their villain was going to be and not have both of them. And then I think also there didn't need to be quite so many other characters brought in. Although it was cool to see Blade again and Elektra. And I think Channing Tatum always should have been Gambit, and he did a great job here. It's not really about them.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that, and I also think that the other big issue with them being there is that the movie doesn't actually really care about them.
Right, they're so there for that fight, and then they're gone.
And it doesn't even care about them in the fight. Like, it doesn't... One, the fight looks kind of like garbage, because it's really hard to figure out what's even going on. It's not well shot, and it doesn't really do anything for the characters. It doesn't really legitimize bringing them back, other than to be like, hey, remember those characters that you saw in those movies, possibly, maybe? Mm-hmm. And then you make this whole thing about Gambit, which is like, you know, unless you're part of like internet culture at the time, a lot of people wouldn't even know what this joke is. I mean, other than I'm sure a lot of the people going to this movie do.
Yeah.
But just the general public probably has no clue what the joke is about this, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think that was the thing I was like, oh, you know, I almost feel like, yeah, do you do any service to the character of somebody like Blade or Elektra or any of those characters really by bringing them into this? I could see bringing in Toad and Sabretooth and Pyro, because people really know who they are from those films, right? The X-Men films. But everybody else, it almost just feels like it's less than an afterthought, in the sense that like it just doesn't do anything for the characters themselves, and it doesn't really do anything necessarily for the story. Mm-hmm. And so it's just kind of that they're there to be there. And then we don't really have anything else to do with them. Mm-hmm. And they don't really get an epic death either, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then the strangest part about it is that somehow the only one that we save in the end is X-23.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we save Laura, which of course makes sense because of like, we're bringing that character in. And, you know, she's such a pivotal character in Logan, an incredible character arc for her. And again, she's she has the best scene in the film with Logan when they're sitting around the fire, and you know, or he is, and she comes over to him and reminds him, like, you were never the right guy. You were always the wrong guy. Mm-hmm. But you found a way to do the right thing regardless.
Mm-hmm.
And that scene was great. And it's like, yeah. So having her in the film was good, but then somehow she gets saved, but they don't save, like, it just is, it, yeah.
It's too many.
I don't know. Yeah. So, and it's hard, like you said, yeah, absolutely, there's too many, so it becomes hard to care that they're there.
Right. Yeah, and I think it, too, it was also another way that they're trying to make all of these things work together, because obviously they joke about Daredevil to Elektra and say, oh, sorry about that. Yeah. And, you know, it was cool seeing Wesley Snipes back and him saying there will only ever be one Blade. And but at the same time, it's like, again, you're just mentioning them in passing and then not really giving them anything else to do.
Right.
Maybe it didn't need to be added.
Yeah.
Even though it sucks.
Yes. I agree with that. You know, I think the thing that I was really struck by and the thing that I loved best about the film, I said earlier, was the kind of the theme for Logan, which is that it all matters. You know, our stories matter. What we've been through matters. And those experiences forge who we are, right? And we can wallow in our own mistakes. We can wallow in our past. Or we can learn from them and forge something new. You mm-hmm. know, we can allow them to forge in us something new. And that's the thing that I really, really appreciated, you know, because I think there are many people, myself included, who have, you know, often thought, you know, am I too far gone? You know, can I really turn this around and make something different out of the mess I've made, right? Can I be a different person, you know, in the sense of like making different choices than the ones that I've been making that have either been hurting me or other people, you know? And that's the journey that this character's on. And I really do think it's an incredibly important one for us to remember that our lives and the experiences that we have, we can either let our experiences define us forever, or we can find a way to redeem those experiences by redefining them by doing something different.
Yeah.
And that's a really powerful thing. And again, that's one of the reasons why, like, when I saw that was the theme of this film for Logan and his story, it's one of the things which just... That character's always had great story arcs. Great story arc here. And it's almost like I just wanted a movie about that instead of all the other stuff, because that was gold mm-hmm. to me.
And I would say for me, it was that I kind of expected him to have this kind of arc, because that's been the way that the character has had to deal with things in the past, that he's got to forge a new path and figure out things. Although it was a different way of looking at him as a person, I think the person that I still saw the biggest growth from was Wade Wilson, because he finally learns. I mean, although he has in the past sacrificed himself to save someone else, for example, with Vanessa, he does in this movie several times. He sacrifices himself for his friends. He realizes that he can't stop the Time Ripper alone. And thankfully, so does Logan. And so he's able to jump in and do his part. But it's Wade over and over again realizing that even though there are times when he has good intentions, he's still trying to take it all on by himself, and he can't. And that's why I thought that scene at the end with the Time Ripper and the two of them holding hands was so beautiful, mm-hmm. was that they're fully embracing working together, and that Wade has finally learned over and over again how to sacrifice yourself for others.
Yeah. No, I mean, again, I don't disagree that that is definitely the best part of the story with him, because it is, you know. And I think one of the things that this is, one of the things that's so important about this, it's like, for me, it's like, just do those stories in a way that's the focus. More so, and I think it would have, for me, it would have been a better movie. And because I agree with you 100%. Both of those stories are really good.
Yeah.
You know, because becoming the less self-focused person and the more selfless person, but also becoming the person who's willing to admit that they need help, is all of that's great, you know, and I think well worth our time in the movies.
Yeah.
You know, because I think a lot of us need to be reminded of that. So, yeah, I wish we had just done and dove in even more of that. So, I guess one of the questions I want to ask you, we talked a little bit just with some of the fight scenes or whatever, but I guess did any of the action like stand out to you in the movie? Did any of the fight scenes like stand out to you? Was there anything, you know, obviously in a big comic book movie, that's a big part of the film. So I'm wondering if anything really worked for you in that way, or you're like, oh man, that was my favorite action scene.
I will say the ones specifically with Wolverine, he had some really good moments. I'm thinking specifically of when he would pop his claws out and then dig them into the ground first. Always looked really cool and was even more menacing than just whipping out your claws. And I thought the scene in the Honda Odyssey was the most gritty, like grounded kind of fight, and best fight of the whole movie. Because I think all of the other ones, especially what we're talking about with the scene in Limbo in Ant-Man's old body, was just odd. I felt like it wasn't really filmed well. It had way too many people involved in one fight to follow. So, yeah. And then I will say the scene in the city with all of the other Deadpools felt a little overkill as well. Like, I couldn't really follow. Although the music was great. And I have to say, I love Mary Poppins. Dogpool is now my favorite character. Yeah, I would say the fight in the Honda Odyssey was the best one.
I think some of them are fine, but I'm honestly left at a place where none of them stood out for me.
Mm-hmm.
Or they were just like, that was what's like you said, the fights where you're just like, what's happening?
Right.
Like
way, you know, too much.
Exactly. And I think maybe that's endemic of the entire film, right? It's like there's just everything is overblown and overdone, and it's like too much.
Mm-hmm.
And in some ways, you know, I think that the Deadpool films could have learned that less can be more in a lot of ways. And so maybe pick... and be a little bit more picky on humor, be a little bit more picky on, you know, overblown action sequences that just become kind of a muddled mess, you know, like just less is more, you know? And I think this is a film that truly, it doesn't necessarily get that very well. So, and yeah, that kind of, I'm not left coming away from it where there's anything truly about this movie other than the story for Logan, where I'm like, I really haven't thought much about this movie since it ended, you know. Mm-hmm. Like it was there, it's fine, mm-hmm. you know? So yeah. And you kind of, I don't know. I think with Marvel at this point, I think they need to be worried. And so like, here's the question. So we know that there's the Russo brothers are returning to Marvel. We've cast Robert Downey Jr. as Dr. Doom in the same universe that we're in.
Well, maybe we just won't show his face. He'll be behind the mask the whole time.
So, I mean, but I don't know why you would cast him if that's the case.
Right.
Like, I don't know. So I guess the question I do have for you is, are you really excited about Marvel at all coming up? Or is it one of those things where it's going to be a wait and see game?
It's a wait and see for me. And here's the thing. The way that they announced that reveal for Dr. Doom was cool. However, it felt like beating a dead horse because he already did this with Iron Man in the Iron Man movie at the very end.
Yep.
So, and like you said, we've all known his face so well as Tony Stark.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see how we could accept him now being a totally different person.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it should have been someone else.
Yeah.
I love him, but he's Tony Stark.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you said it great.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm right there with you. I legitimately don't understand this casting, and I don't know how you could be excited for it, in all honesty. And if you are, that's great. I'm happy for you. But to me, it makes legit no sense. And as I talked at the very beginning, it's like they're completely devoid of ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're just hitting the nostalgia bone now, and we're trying to reinvigorate you by, we're bringing back Robert Downey Jr., but he's not the character you love. He's just a new character and now a villain. And like, how it doesn't even seem to make sense, especially when we've also seen that throughout the multiverse, everybody pretty much looks the same as a character. I don't know. I don't get it. So,
And also just to play it from a different perspective, giving somebody else a chance.
Exactly.
There's so many up and coming actors that could do an incredible job in that role.
Yep.
I mean, heck, 100%. I mean, I don't know if he'd be a good fit for it, but I'm just like, people like Glenn Powell.
Yeah, no, I mean, so, I don't know if he would be your choice, but I mean, they're absolutely 100% people that I would choose. And to speak onto that, you put Henry Cavill in this for a second as Wolverine. Perfect choice for Wolverine.
Heck
and
yes.
Now, though, you've got Hugh Jackman back as Wolverine. So again, you're almost taking away opportunities for other people to come in and play characters. And I don't really understand that. And really, it's only because of the nostalgia factor, which can be a good thing, but it can also just limit your ability to do anything different. And so, yeah, I guess it comes down to then, Christy, what are you going to rate Deadpool and Wolverine?
So, I mean, obviously you and I differ in our opinions a little bit. And I'm just always going to love and defend Deadpool because I really think that at its core, it's a love story and it's a survival story. And that he hides behind the humor to get through all the pain he's been through. So I was really excited about it, but wanted a good story to go with. And I think even though there are a lot of distractions with a lot of other characters being brought in, that at its core, bringing Deadpool and Wolverine together was a great idea. And I think the two of them already had such great rapport as friends off screen that bringing them together in this way was a great timing and decision in that sense. I think also this could, like I said, breathe new life into the next phase of the MCU and just bring more creativity to help this problem we're having with a feeling of a lack of a master plan. So I hope maybe it's a way of injecting something different into the mix. So I was really excited. I had fun with this movie. My husband and I went to see it together. Got to throw out props to all the Easter eggs and also the dance at the beginning. Because Ryan Reynolds and I should be best friends. We're both little girls on the inside.
Awkward.
Well, you know what I mean. His wife has said he's the biggest Taylor Swift fan and, you know, loves things like NSYNC and all that stuff that you would not expect a man of his age to enjoy. So I think that he brings a lot of fun, and then combined it with the rapport that you get from Hugh Jackman, it was great. So ultimately, I end up with a 4 out of 5 dance scenes.
Nice. There you go. You know, it's interesting because for all the reasons that I mentioned, you know, and actually talking about it has made it worse.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I want it to go
so
the other
I
way.
Was at a I was at a 3, but I'm going to give this 2.5 out of 5 Wolverine claws because I think this is, again, to me, this is like half a good movie. I think the movie is just too repetitive, and it's afraid actually to really challenge the characters by leaning into something that makes the movie better, I think. And you can still have a bunch of the humor, but if you treated this slightly more seriously, it's just a better movie. And the characters are the better for it too by the time the movie ends. And I think it's also even better for just the MCU in general, because it feels more cohesive to have this character now join. So, but I'm kind of left in the place where it's like, I feel like Marvel put out this movie because they knew they would just make a bunch of money. It's a money grab, and it doesn't really do anything necessarily for the overall, which is frustrating because that's how we've been formatted to think about the MCU. I think just as a movie too, for me, it just doesn't work the way they want it to for me. And so, yeah, I mean, in some ways it's like, it's fine, but I'm like, I don't think anybody has to rush out to see this at the theater. And mainly part of that too is just, I don't even think the spectacle is better on the big screen than it just would be on your television, which is, that's the other thing. It's like, you know, these days with the economy and the price of movies and all that stuff, it's like, you know, give me something wow. You know, like I really enjoyed, I saw Twisters twice. You know, I thought it was
great. Did you see it in Dolby?
I did see it in Dolby.
There we go.
And it was fantastic. So anyway, but Chrissy, if people wanted to catch up with you, see what else is going on with you, where would they find you?
Well, of course, you can find me on Instagram, Letterboxd, and Twitter at Bespin Bell, and then on Facebook as well in the Babel Conference. And I have a finished show with my friends Amanda and Teresa called Sabers and Spells on the Skywalking Through Neverland Network that I hope you'll check out. But what about you?
Well, you can find me all over social media under the name Matt Rushing 02. Of course, here on the network, you'll also find me with some other shows, Warp 5, The Artificial Tango, Saddle Up, The Orb, and sometimes on Literary Treks. You can also find me over on the Nerd Party Network with Outpost with Drea Kaufman. We talked about every single chapter of the Harry Potter series, one chapter at a time. And then also on Aggressive Negotiations with John Mills, as we're talking about Star Wars each and every week. But thank you so much for joining us.
And y'all come back now, you hear? Thank you.